good morning, good evening, and everything in between, you lovely, lovely listeners. Today, I am lucky enough to bring you two remastered old-time radio episodes brought back from the dead, straight from the Nero Wolf archives, A Party for Death and The Malevolent Medic. Both entail betrayal, and both, as usual, see Nero Wolf eating his body weight in food, sending off Archie to do his errands, and relying on Archie to, well, basically do everything. Except the thinking, that is. Mate, I hope you enjoy both your episodes, heavily remastered. And if you want to see what I'm up to when it comes to editing, I've included in my Patreon notes what it looks like to edit these episodes. And I tell you what, mates, it's fascinating. Well, I hope it is for some. Now sit back and enjoy both your episodes with mystery, murder, deceit, Archie getting really annoyed, poison, lots of poison, Nero Wolf being always hungry, more poison, gorgeous women, and somehow managing to piss everyone off yet getting to the right answer. Enjoy both your episodes, you amazing listeners. Let's get to it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell brings you mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolf's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Wolf is busy planning a menu. I'll see if he can talk to you. What's the name again? You want to talk to a dame named Mrs. Collins?
Hang up, Archie.
Do we know a Mrs. Collins?
No.
I don't suppose you care, but I think her voice is very charming.
Doubtless. Every female has a charming voice to you. Hang up.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mrs. Collins, but at the moment, Mr. Wolf is too involved with his digestive system to be interrupted. However, if I may introduce myself, Archie Goodwin, Mr. Wolf's assistant, if I can be of any help...
Archie.
Yes, Mrs. Collins, I'll ask him. Cocktail party.
Hang up, Archie.
Mrs. Collins, I'm afraid it would be better if you didn't expect Mr. Wolf. Goodbye. Cocktails. Fooey.
Sad, very absurd.
She says you promised to come to her cocktail party, and why aren't you there?
Because you are going to attend the cocktail party and the probable unpleasant ending.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that genius who is the bulkiest, balkiest, the most ponderous, and most brilliant detective in the world. Yes, none other than that chair-born mass of unpredictable intellect, Nero Wolf, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
Mr. Wolf and I refer to this as the case of the party for death. Nero Wolf really should have gone to the party since he'd accepted, but I was delegated. I can't complain now since it was there that I met Georgia, the most beautiful redhead. Well, that's my weakness, redheads. Yeah, and blondes and brunettes. Well, anyway, Mr. Wolf was adamant about going to the party.
I've never been to a cocktail party in my life. You know, I drink nothing but beer.
You could take your beer with you, couldn't you?
I could not.
Do we know a Mrs. Collins whose cocktail party you said you'd go to?
The phone rang and I picked it up.
Where was I?
Exactly.
Okay. So a Mrs. Collins with a beautiful, seductive voice conned you into accepting an invitation to a cocktail party that you knew you weren't going to.
Archie.
Yes, Master.
Just a little less sarcasm, perhaps.
Sarcasm?
Call it impertinence, then.
Impertinence, Master?
Exactly. Less of that. Much less.
Okay.
Continue now.
Where was I?
You were reading the duck recipe.
Oh, yes, the duck. Oh, here we are. Dodine de Canard. The dodine is one of the oldest dishes in the repertory of French cooking, being mentioned in books of the 14th century. The Grand Cuisinier de Toute Cuisinie.
Hooey, what time is it, Archie?
Almost 6:30.
Oh, in that case...
You're going to get up?
Here on this card are your instructions, Archie. If you are still alive tomorrow, you may make your report.
helped the huge bulk that was Nero Wolfe out of his specially built desk chair and walked with him to the elevator that would take him upstairs to his orchids. I stepped back to the desk and found the card which bore my instructions. In his small, perfect handwriting, I read, "Mrs. Albert Collins, Empire Towers. Arrive at 7, say I sent you. After the murder, telephone me before the police arrive." At exactly 7, I rang Mrs. Collins' doorbell. Mrs. Collins?
I'm Mrs. Collins.
I'm Archie Goodwin. We talked on the phone a little while ago.
Oh yes. Well, come in, Mr. Goodwin.
Mr. Wolfe begs to be excused. At the last moment, he was unable to attend.
Well, I'm glad you could come.
You're not disappointed?
No, I don't think so. I'm rather upset. I'm afraid, Mr. Goodwin, for my life. That's why I called Mr. Wolfe. Oh, just drop your hat and coat there, Mr. Goodwin.
May I tell you something, Mrs. Collins?
Well, of course, Mr. Goodwin.
Archie will do.
Archie?
When I spoke to you on the phone, I thought I knew what you'd look like.
And?
You do.
Well, is that good?
It's not bad, Mrs. Collins.
Janie will do.
Janie will do.
Archie,
mm-hmm.
I think it would be best if I say you're an old beau of mine.
From where?
In Hollywood. When I went to Hollywood High School and you went to USC.
Okay, but don't expect me to remember much about it.
I'd be flattered if you remember anything about it. I want you to keep your eyes and ears open. Observe everything tonight. Well, now shall we join the party? Oh, Albert, this is Archie Goodwin. Archie, this is my husband, Albert.
How do you do?
Hello.
And this is Joe Boyce, my husband's partner.
How do you do? Boyce?
I've told you about Archie, Albert, but well, I guess you probably don't remember, do you?
No, I don't.
When I was in high school and he went to USC.
Oh, yeah, sure. What'll you have, Goodwin?
I'd like a plain lime and soda.
Oh, not really. A teetotaler now?
Yes, I used to overdo it, uh-huh. Remember?
So you knew my wife in Hollywood?
Quite a while ago, though.
Uh-huh. Been here long?
Oh, a while.
Did you and my wife run into each other again just lately?
Yeah.
A few days ago?
About.
Joe Boyce here is my partner, chemical business. Makes this sort of an old home week, doesn't it, Joe?
In a way, Al. I guess it does at that.
Joe knew my wife back in those days, too. And they're still very friendly. Yeah. Yes, indeed. You two have got something in common to talk about, haven't you, Goodman?
Mrs. Collins, you mean? We never knew each other very well.
No? Okay, Goodman, let it go.
Why, look. Look what I found. A new man. Just what I need. I'm Georgia.
Archie.
Archie, dear, will you fix up my drink, please?
Anything for a lady.
Let's go to the bar. Hey, Archie?
I'm determined, Joe. If it were only the money, or only Jane, I might listen.
Oh, Al, can't we talk about it later?
I like talking about it now, Joe.
You're going to be sorry about this, Al.
I am already. But you'll have 20 years or so in prison just being sorry. I've got the papers you forged right here.
You're hysterical, Al. Let's face it. The firm went broke, but I suffered too. So let's forget it.
Yes, Joe. The firm went broke, but you didn't. And I don't think my wife did either. The two of you had everything figured for yourselves. Well, I'm turning the papers over to the DA tomorrow. Nero Wolfe speaking.
Archie, what do you know about this expected murder, if anything?
Has it happened yet?
No, but who's supposed to get killed?
I haven't the faintest idea, Archie.
Then why don't you stop it?
That is impossible. I don't even know who's there.
You want me to tell you?
Not in the least.
How am I supposed to prevent it if I don't know what I'm looking for?
You're not supposed to prevent it, Archie. I don't think you could. I don't think anybody could.
You want to hear what I found out already?
No.
I'll tell you anyway. Collins thinks his wife and his partner, Boyce, have been stealing his dough, and he's threatening to send Boyce to the clink.
Archie.
Yeah?
You're wasting our time. Go back to the party. There is nothing you can do to prevent the murder. But I want you to be there when it happens.
Now that all the guests have gone, let's sit down here, Georgie.
When Janie was in Hollywood, she must have had more good-looking boyfriends.
Let's get personal about this, Georgie.
Yeah, let's.
When you say good-looking, do you mean me?
I don't mean anybody else, Archie.
You know, I think you're pretty, too.
You better not let Jane hear you say that.
You think she'd care?
I thought you knew Jane.
Only slightly. You don't like Jane too well, do you?
Why?
Why? Why what?
Why don't you tell the truth about it? No man as attractive as you ever knew Jane slightly. Either they knew her or they didn't know her. Maybe you think I'm getting a little tipsy.
The idea never occurred to me.
No? Well, it has to me.
Refill your glass?
I'll come with you to the bar.
Here's your drink, Georgia. I find there's no ice left in the ice bucket.
Janie? Hey, Janie, no ice.
Oh, well, I'll get some. Here, give me the bucket.
Mrs. Collins, Janie, I mean.
Yes, Archie.
May I use the phone in the bedroom again?
Oh, of course.
Will you excuse me for a minute, Georgia?
I'm coming with you.
Why don't you just stay here until Jane brings the ice? Well, why don't you go talk to Joe Boyce?
I don't want to talk to Joe Boyce. I don't want to talk to Joe Boyce ever.
Now, look, Georgia.
I'm coming with you, Archie. Is that clear?
Okay, come on.
Here's where the phone is.
I could have found it myself.
You don't want me with you, do you?
Just sit down here on the edge of the bed and listen, if that's what you want to do.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Archie, boss.
Well, Archie, what?
Just a bit of a report.
Go on.
At this moment, I am sitting on the edge of one of two twin beds in the apartment of Mr. and Mrs. Albert Collins. Sitting next to me is a gorgeous redhead named Georgia. Georgia what, dear?
Boyce.
You mean you're the wife of Joe Boyce?
Of course. Didn't you know?
I am sitting next to the gorgeous redheaded wife of Albert Collins' partner, Joe Boyce.
Archie, you annoy me.
From what I just learned, I can see there's another friction going on.
You mean Georgia and Jane?
Yep. Fireworks between them. This one no like other one.
Is there anything more to say?
When I called, I was going to ask if there's any reason why I shouldn't come home now.
I wrote your instructions for you, Archie.
After the murder, call you.
Yeah, that's perfectly clear, isn't it?
But what if there isn't any?
Don't call me. Simple, isn't it?
Hello. He hung up.
Archie.
What?
It was a strange conversation.
You want me to explain it to you, honey?
What was that business about murder?
Shall we join the party?
Murder. Archie, wouldn't you be surprised if there was one?
Yeah? Who's going to do what and to whom?
I don't know. Maybe I will.
Elucidate, honey. Do you intend to figure as the killer or the corpse?
I don't intend to figure as anything. But you never know. Archie, do you think Jane Collins is better looking than me?
Nope.
Honestly?
Honestly.
Then what's the matter with me?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, yes, dear. Look, do you want to kiss me?
Well, I'll tell you. When I graduated from Sunday school, I took a vow.
That's what I mean. But if I were Jane, you'd want to kiss me, wouldn't you?
No, frankly, no.
Why not?
Well, when I graduated from Sunday school, I...
Okay, Archie. Let's go back. You boys have such happy faces. Where's Jane?
In the kitchen getting some ice. Where have you been?
With Archie.
Is he an old school chum of yours, too?
Do you care, Joe?
No.
Mr. Boyce.
What?
How much do you weigh?
187. Why?
Then I'll be giving you 5 pounds. Shall we step outside?
This I have got to see.
Shut up. Mr. Goodwin, you seem angry.
Just terribly, terribly hurt.
Would it do any good if I apologized? Today I'm a little upset. If I said anything to offend you, I do apologize. Now, if you still want me to give you a boxing lesson, I'm at your service.
Let's forget it. I'm sorry, too. Jane Collins came in from the kitchen with a bucket of ice cubes, a tray of fresh glasses, and the strapless gown she'd been wearing.
There. I never thought I'd make it. Now I'm going to mix my own drink, and you can take care of yourselves. Ice first. Whiskey. And soda. It's a simple recipe, isn't it, Archie?
All it needs is the ingredients.
Well, I drink to the ingredients. Nice.
Janie, darling.
What, dear?
Would you mind very much if I took Archie away from you?
Haven't you done that already, dear?
To listen to those girls, you'd think, wouldn't you, Goodwin?
Me, I never think.
What do you do, Archie?
I concentrate.
On what?
On not thinking. I did some serious concentrating on not thinking about Nero Wolfe or about the conflict of the partners, Albert Collins and Joe Boyce, about the jealousies of Jane and Georgia. The next 5 minutes hardly seemed an hour. Jane and Boyce murmured to each other. Collins drank, gently but firmly.
Why can't you be honest, Archie? What's the matter with me?
What, Georgia?
You weren't listening, were you?
To every gorgeous word you said.
What did I say?
I want to hear it again, just the way you said it before.
I said, why shouldn't there be a murder? Why not? It's an order.
It's just not considered the thing to do.
Thing to do? Can you think of anything better?
No, frankly.
I can. My glass is empty.
My glass is empty, too. Jane. Jane!
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not much of a hostess, am I? Oh, don't answer that. Oh, you're all empty. But I've only drunk half of mine.
You don't usually drink so slowly, Jane.
Oh, I'm just not in the mood tonight. I usually drink faster to keep you from drinking mine. You see, Albert always gulps his and then reaches for mine.
What's the difference?
Well, I'll fix you some fresh drinks, but put my drink over there by you, Georgia. And lay off, Albert. I only had about 3 swallows of it. Besides, you don't need any more.
I suppose we know what dear Jane is going to do, don't we?
Lay off, will you?
Lay off. It's my husband who said that, Archie. Archie, meet my husband, Mr. Boyce. I will now explain why dear Jane took our glasses away to the kitchen when she could have poured a drink right here.
Listen, Georgia, will you...
Mr. Boyce is speaking, Archie. What, Mr. Boyce?
Nuts.
Mr. Boyce says nuts, Mr. Goodwin. What do you say, Mr. Collins?
I think Joe has covered the field.
We were talking, weren't we, Archie?
Possibly.
We were talking about dear Jane. She's got to be always the prettiest, always devastating. Right now, she's putting on a completely new face. And in about 20 minutes, when our tongues are hanging out, she'll come back, all horsed up and bright and smiling, with another tray of drinks.
Yeah, she'll take all night to fix them.
Well, I'm going to get some air on the balcony.
Don't jump off. Al, you're drinking too much lately.
I shouldn't worry you, Joe. Especially now.
When you start drinking, not only your drinks, but everybody else's too, well... Jane's right.
Is that what worries you? Slide Jane's glass down. The ice is all melted.
You see what I mean?
Okay, Joe, let's not be nasty until tomorrow. Good. That gives me an idea. Think I'll propose a toast. Until tomorrow. You know, it may be rather fitting that I should drink a toast from the glass that Janie left. Until tomorrow.
Go! Al. Al? Jane? Janie!
Albert!
Oh, Albert.
Nero Wolfe speaking.
May I come home now?
Oh, hello, Archie.
I said, may I come home now?
Have you sent for the police, Inspector Kramer?
Of course.
Who was killed, Archie?
Albert Collins.
How, Archie?
I don't know. You were right, though, weren't you?
Naturally. About what?
Murder.
Oh, that. We can talk about it tomorrow. Good night, Archie. Come home when you can.
What do you mean, come home when I can?
You'll be held as a witness, won't you? Try not to wake me with the elevator when you come in.
Well, Inspector Kramer, you've had me here at headquarters for a long while. For quite a long while. Haven't you asked me enough questions?
Goodwin, you say you never saw these people before, Collins or Boyce or their wives. Yet when all the other guests had gone, you were still there.
I guess I just don't know how to say goodbye.
You didn't know they were partners in a chemical company. You didn't know that Boyce had forged a lot of papers with Collins' name.
All I know is what you tell me.
Goodwin.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to be nice.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know, of course, that you went to that party because Nero Wolfe told you to.
Do you?
My question is, how did Wolfe know it was going to happen?
Why don't you ask him?
I already have.
He told you?
He says he never heard of Collins or Boyce.
Did he say he'd ever heard of me?
He says he isn't responsible for you or your shady friends. Maybe he knows I found a poison pellet in George's bag.
Inspector, may I make an important call?
Go ahead.
Archie, Archie. Confounded light. Hello?
What time is it, Master?
Confounded, Archie.
I'll tell you what time it is. It's a little after 4 a.m. I'm at Central Headquarters, and Inspector Kramer has been chatting with me about my shady friends.
Kramer is a jackass.
Just a second. Pick up the other phone, will you, Inspector? Sorry, Mr. Wolf. What was that you were saying about Inspector Kramer?
I said Kramer is a jackass.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Wolf!
Oh? Eavesdropping, Inspector.
I was just talking about bringing you down here for a little questioning, Wolf.
Phooey.
What's that?
Phooey. It can be spelled in several ways. I spell it P-F-U-I. Phooey.
You think I won't bring you down here as a material witness?
Yes, I think you won't. I think you'd be making a great mistake if you did.
A great mistake? Why?
Because I might not tell you who killed Collins. Then you wouldn't know which one of these people to prefer charges against. Now send Archie home. Even he needs an occasional night's sleep.
He hung up.
So it seems. Busy? He's probably left the phone off the hook, Inspector. By now, he's probably asleep again.
You know I can go out there, don't you?
Sure you can. More important men than you have tried it. And where are they now?
Goodwin?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to let you go.
I'm sure Mr. Wolf and I are very grateful, Inspector.
You want to know why I'm letting you go?
I know why.
Why?
Because if you're nice and cooperative and don't make too much trouble, Mr. Wolf will solve this case for you and tell you whom to prefer charges against.
Goodwin.
Sir?
Get out.
Thank you, Inspector. Good morning, Inspector. At 3 o'clock the next afternoon, I was rearranging the furniture in Nero Wolf's office while the great man sat behind his desk watching me perspire.
Are you finished now, Archie?
I guess so.
And tell me where this at.
There were two couches, like this, in front of a fireplace. Collins and Boyce were sitting together on one couch. When Georgia and I came in, they were looking at some canceled checks.
Where was Mrs. Collins?
I told you, she was getting ice and fresh glasses.
Why was she getting fresh glasses, Archie? Where were the empty ones?
I don't know. Maybe they were the same ones she brought back washed and polished.
Archie, I trust your powers of observation absolutely. That's why I sent you to Mrs. Collins' cocktail party.
Okay, how did you know there was going to be a murder? If it was a murder.
It was a murder, Archie. But isn't it obvious?
How is it obvious? Suppose Collins slipped a few drops of the poison into his drink himself.
It's very strong, very deadly poison. With a remarkably strong odor.
Like almonds, I know. I smelled it when I picked him up.
Archie, was anything found on the body that might have contained the poison, a fountain pen, whatever?
Not even that.
Inspector Kramer found a poison pellet in Georgia's handbag. He thinks she poisoned Collins' drink.
Say, could be. But it wasn't his drink, it was his wife's. Then Georgia was trying to kill Jane, and Collins got it by mistake.
We shall soon see, Archie.
I was expecting a murder because you told me to expect it. I watched every move that everybody made. There's no possibility that Jane's glass, the glass with the poison in it, was tampered with by anybody.
Yes, I believe.
Okay.
Archie, you're sure, aren't you?
Have you ever spent the night with Inspector Kramer? He's really a good man, too. Why did you say he was a jackass?
Because he didn't know who killed Collins.
Do you?
Of course. Is there ever any question about it?
Just a moment, please.
The only trouble is it may be difficult to prove. That's why we are giving this little cocktail party this afternoon with the help of Inspector Kramer. By the way...
Yes?
Call Mrs. Collins and tell her to bring a bucket of ice from her refrigerator.
Why?
Because our refrigerator's broken down.
No, it hasn't. I was just out in the kitchen a minute ago.
Our refrigerator has broken down. And it'd be very helpful if Mrs. Collins would bring a bucket of ice cubes.
What makes you think she'll do it?
She will. Call her.
6:45. There we were in Wolf's office doing a repeat performance of last night's smash hit. Two couches faced each other, a cocktail table between them. On one couch, red-headed Georgia and me. On the other couch, it was a big one, Joe Boyce,
Jane Collins, widow of the lately defunct Albert, and Nero Wolfe. Jane had been drinking a little slower than the rest of us. Our glasses were empty. Hers was still half full. Wolfe said...
Marjorie.
Yeah?
At this point in last night's party, Mrs. Collins got up and left to get some fresh drinks. Repeat what she said.
Approximately?
Approximately will do.
I think she said something like this. She said, put my drink over by you, Georgia. Lay off, Albert. I've had about 3 swallows of it. Besides, you don't need any more, Albert. Am I right, Jane?
Close enough, Archie. But what of it?
Now, what is this nonsense all about, Wolf?
Mr. Wolf is trying to make something out of nothing.
I think Mr. Wolf is going to turn up something mighty interesting. Don't look so perturbed, Joe.
Since I am playing the part of the late Mr. Collins, pass me Jane's glass.
I'll keep my glass, Mr. Wolf. I haven't finished my drink.
You're a very clever woman, Mrs. Collins.
Would it be too much if I ask what this is all about?
What about it, Archie?
You make it sound as if that drink she's holding is poison. But it can't be, because as yesterday, she's already drunk half of it herself.
When our freezer broke down, she was more than willing to bring a bucket of ice cubes, wasn't she?
So?
What would happen, Archie, if you froze a gelatine-coated pellet of poison in the center of one particular ice cube? Mrs. Collins hasn't finished her drink. Notice the ice is all melted now. She hasn't taken one sip since the ice melted completely. She came prepared in case she was exposed. Smell it, Archie.
No, Archie, stand back. I can easily swallow this before you can reach me. Mr. Wolf, in a few seconds, I'll drink it. But tell me something first. Tell me how you knew.
Jane, listen to me.
I knew there was going to be a murder last night because you said so. I knew that it was you who would commit the murder because it was you who invited me. You hoped an expert witness would prove that you couldn't have killed your husband. So I sent Archie Goodwin, whose observations are always exact, even when he doesn't know the import of what he's observing.
She brought back clean glasses. She poured the drinks out of bottles already open. And if anybody had put anything in or touched one of those glasses, I would have seen it.
Exactly. The poison pellet was frozen in a certain ice cube. Mrs. Collins put that cube in her own drink, drank it until the ice had almost melted down to the poisonous pellet center. And then she took all the other glasses away, leaving only hers half full. And as usual, her husband drank it.
No, Jane, don't. Don't.
Too late, Joe. Too late.
Well, boss, Jane didn't get away with the suicide try. That was clever thinking you did.
I prepared a cube of ice in which I had frozen a gelatine capsule containing nothing more than a vitamin compound. I substituted for the cube in which Jane had placed the poison for herself.
Wonder why Jane Collins wanted to have Joe. He'd stolen practically all the money in the company. He was just a crook.
Birds of a feather, Archie. I don't believe Joe Boyce had any idea that Jane was planning a murder. And he still had all the money.
Well, the forgeries will put him away for a long time. And poor Georgia could have had it pinned on her if it hadn't been for me.
Yes, yes. You knew all along, didn't you, that Jane had planned to have Georgia accused by planting another pellet of the poison in Georgia's handbag. Jane would have gotten rid of her husband and Joe's wife in one stroke. You knew all that, didn't you?
Well, I... How about a bottle of beer, boss?
Could you spare the time?
Georgia. Beautiful redhead. Wonder where she is tonight.
I'm sure I haven't the slightest idea, but in case you do... Well, just be quiet with the elevator door when you come in.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that genius who is the bulkiest, balkiest, most ponderous, and most brilliant detective in the world. Yes, none other than that chair-born mass of unpredictable intellect, Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
It turned out that what Horton had said had been murder, which became celebrated in the case of the malevolent medic. But its solution wasn't a simple matter of following up his accusation. It had false clues mixed all through it like raisins in a pudding. The man we came to know as the malevolent medic was young Dr. Benjamin Sloan. The case began on the sunny afternoon when Grace Banks, his nurse, came into his private office.
Waiting room's finally empty, I take it.
Well, there's one more patient, darling. I'm sorry, doctor. Hmm. Mrs. Horton's here for another of the thiamine chloride shots you ordered for.
I said you could give her those, Grace. She doesn't have to wait to see me.
Oh, she's hung up her mink coat, parked her orchid and her alligator bag, and filled up all the ashtrays with lipstick cigarette stubs. Mrs. Horton prefers to wait for you. She seems very upset.
I hoped she'd get hold of herself.
Mrs. Hal Horton, with all that money. Whatever gives her such jitters? Darling, if I ever get in that condition after we're married, please shoot me.
I've advised her to go to a specialist. Hers isn't a true medical case. Well, I'll do what I can. Get a needle ready, will you, Grace, and show Mrs. Horton in.
Yes, darling. I mean, doctor. Mrs. Horton, will you step in now? Been in that waiting room for hours. Ben, I wrote you every day this week. Why didn't you answer me?
You say your health hasn't improved, Leslie.
I'm worse. Much worse.
Still chain smoking, drinking, and the sleeping pills?
I have to take something. I can't walk the floor all night, can I? Thinking.
Why are you so unhappy, Leslie? You have what you always said you wanted. Money, clothes, excitement.
You have the right to say that. But don't. Please don't.
I'm only pointing out facts you should face. I told you from the beginning you need a nerve specialist.
I need you. Nobody else can help me at all.
Leslie, you went over this the last time you were here, and in all those letters you've been sending. Now, let's cross it off for good, shall we?
Don't talk like that. You don't mean
it. I'm no longer a lovesick dope, and you're the wife of one of the biggest industrialists in the country.
Yes, Hal Horton. I despise him. He thinks his money makes him God. He thinks he can buy anything that he bought me. He made me think I was getting the world with a fence around it. Everything I want is on the other side of that fence.
You don't know what you do want.
I want us the way we used to be, happy in love together.
Leslie, please be quiet.
Why?
Miss Banks is in the laboratory. She can hear you.
What of it? I'm not ashamed. I'll tell her. I'll tell everybody. Imagine Hal's face when he finds out I'm leaving him. But I'm coming back to you. He already knows about you. I told him you were in love with me, that you're jealous. He doesn't like
you. Leslie, you're raving now. Stop it.
You always said I was the most attractive woman in the world.
You made your choice. Now get this into your head. I'm really in love now. In a few weeks, I'm going to be married. Now I'll get your medicine.
So it's really true. You are going to be married.
Yes.
I'd heard it, but I didn't believe it. Going to marry a nurse. All my friends have known and been laughing at me.
Please, now that's enough.
I made a plan, a wonderful, beautiful plan about us. Ben, you love me. Ben, say you love me.
Mrs. Horton, that is all over.
You don't love me.
No longer. You're here as my patient, and that's all. After this treatment, I must ask you to get another doctor.
A wonderful, beautiful plan for us. And now she threatens to step in and spoil it. Well, maybe I'll spoil a few plans. How would you like that?
Threats will accomplish nothing.
I can ruin things for you, Ben. All those fancy ideas of yours about having a fine practice, being a great doctor. Do you want to give those up? I can arrange it so that maybe there won't be any wonderful future for you. Are you prepared to face that possibility? Because I'm prepared to make it a reality. And I mean it. You'll regret this day as long as you live.
I'll get your medicine, Mrs. Horton.
Hand me my bag. Thank you. Oh, I hate you, Ben. I hate you both.
Sorry to have kept you waiting, Mrs. Horton. Miss Banks had to do a repair job before she could use the sterilizer. Alcohol, Miss Banks?
Yes, Dr. Sloan. Now, Mrs. Horton, may I help? Thanks. So nice of you. There. Right side for the hypo this time, isn't it? Just touch with this cotton. Ready now, doctor. Oh,
What's the matter, Mrs. Horton?
I'm just cold. Alcohol.
After this, I advise you to go home and rest. These massive doses are a little painful, but they give results. There. That's all. Just relax here, and you can leave in 10 minutes. Come, Miss Banks. I want to talk to you.
Doctor! I feel sick. I feel very sick.
You might as well stop acting.
I can't get up. My feet,
Ben. Look at her. Something's happened.
Hysteria.
No, her face. Oh, Ben, she's falling. Mrs. Horton, hold on to me. I've got you.
Hold her up. Leslie, what is it?
Pain. Terrible pain.
Where? What from?
Sick. Everywhere. Pain. Everything's pain. Pain in my head. Pain in my feet. My feet. My feet.
Doctor, she's dead.
Yes, Grace. Get a card from the files. I want to study it. From the first day Mrs. Horton came here.
What was it, Ben? What happened to her?
Symptoms are of a heart condition from which it seems the patient has just expired. Then you must call her husband. Grace, did you hear me?
Yes, Dr. Sloan.
Well, they discouraged your visit here, Mr. Horton. I do have a sort of curiosity about the operation of so-called big business. Maybe I'll be a glass of beer and hear an explanation of the rise and fall of this morning's stock market.
You don't think I've come here socially? I wish to engage your services, but...
Not available.
You're a detective, aren't you?
Specializing in cases that interest me.
Sherry, Mr. Horton?
I don't need it, thank you.
But Mr. Wolf says he specializes in cases that...
I've just got here. I haven't told my story. I don't believe you even know who I am.
Oh, yes, we do. We do indeed. A millionaire.
Did I offend you by speaking of a fee?
No, on the contrary. It is that portion of your conversation which interested me most. Frankly, I plan to spend the evening examining the first edition of Henry James I'd like to purchase, and the word fee suggested a possible way. Now, what have you done, sir?
What have I done?
One doesn't have to be a detective to recognize you're in trouble, Mr. Horton.
Look, Mr. Wolf, I have done nothing. But I've got a question I've got to have answered. I need facts. They tell me you're the man who can give them to me.
If Nero Wolf can't get them for you, they're not facts, they're fancies, Mr. Horton.
Well, my story's involved.
But the gist of it is, your beautiful wife, a former model, died last week. The death certificate indicated a heart attack. You suggest she was murdered.
How did you know?
Never mind how I came to my conclusions. How did you come to yours?
Leslie had been going to a Dr. Benjamin Sloan. She said he was a specialist. Some friend had recommended. She'd been upset. He was giving her vitamin B shots, she told me.
You doubt that was true?
Dr. Sloan informed me, after she died in his office, there'd been a heart condition from the beginning. Well, I don't believe it. Leslie was a very emotional girl. She'd have been quite frightened of a heart ailment. She'd have told me about it.
Maybe she didn't comprehend its seriousness.
Dr. Sloan did. Why didn't he get in touch with me at once about it? Then, when I went to clear up Leslie's room, I discovered something. Leslie didn't go to Sloan through a friend. She'd known him when she was a model and he was a hospital intern. She'd kept letters he'd written to her then. Love letters.
Indeed.
Well, doesn't that give you an idea, Mr. Wolf? Sloan lost Leslie to me. No man who'd been in love with Leslie would ever get over it. Would a man be jealous enough, kill a woman he loved rather than have her belong to another man?
An interesting theory, Mr. Horton, one frequently advanced in fiction. Shall we investigate and see how it works out in fact?
Yeah, you'll take the case then.
The intricacies of the feminine nature are challenging if you do not have to come in contact with the creatures. The practical research in such matters I leave to Mr. Goodwin here. It is a field in which he specializes.
But it's you I want.
Our method of operation is not under your control, Mr. Horton. You'll be so kind, Archie, get a first-hand report of Dr. Benjamin Sloan and the women in his life.
Just came to ask a few routine questions, Dr. Sloan.
I don't understand your interest in the Horton case, Mr. Goodwin, is it?
That's right.
The death certificate was signed and a report made to the medical inspector.
Detectives are a snoopy lot.
Detectives? Are you from the police department?
No, I'm employed to note some details before we close up the Leslie Horton estate. Sudden deaths have to be double-checked.
I'm afraid I can't add a thing to what I've already reported.
Well, thanks for seeing me anyhow. Been a pleasant visit. Ever have a patient die in your office before, Dr. Sloan?
No, but I've seen similar cases in the hospital, of course.
Was Mrs. Horton warned about her heart condition, Dr. Sloan?
I discussed her case with her fully and frankly.
And her husband, wasn't Mr. Horton alarmed?
He didn't know. Mrs. Horton's ailment was, well, not to bore a layman with medical details, was not a fatal one necessarily. She might have gone on for years.
Just played in bad luck, huh?
The worst.
Mm-hmm. When'd you first meet her?
Several weeks ago.
And you saw her how many times?
It's all on the record. She was nervous. I prescribed thiamine chloride. Her medical report card shows that. You read it for yourself.
Well, I guess that's all, Dr. Sloan. Won't bother you further.
Miss Banks will show you out.
Yes, Dr. Sloan?
Sort of a modern Aladdin arrangement, isn't it? Wish I could press a buzzer and have a beautiful girl like you appear.
Mr. Goodwin is leaving.
Oh, this way, Mr. Goodwin. You can use the side door. The waiting room is full of patients.
So long, Doctor.
This way through the lab. There's a door from it into the corridor.
Cozy place, all those bottles. I suppose there's enough stuff in here to kill an army.
To cure one.
Miss Banks, may I say that you're the kind of a nurse that patients dream about? Make it a pleasure to go to a hospital. Blonde hair, blue eyes, winkers an inch long. Are they real?
If you'll excuse me.
What do I have to come down with to persuade you to take care of me? Huh?
I don't take cases. I'm a technician. Good day, Miss.
So you work just for Dr. Sloan? It's too bad the way he's involved in this Horton case. It looks serious.
Mrs. Horton simply died of a heart attack in Dr. Sloan's office.
If you wanted to help your boss, Miss Banks, you'd stop rushing around and answer a few questions.
I'm sure Dr. Sloan gave you the necessary information.
Guess he doesn't realize the trouble he's in. If you can supply any details that'll change the picture, you'll be doing him a great favor. He's a nice guy. I want to help.
What is there to say? The report...
Let's get it in your own words. Just what really happened here that day?
Well, Dr. Sloan gave Mrs. Horton the vitamin B shot. That was routine.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't get up afterward. She said she was sick. And then she fell and I caught her.
And Dr. Sloan administered emergency treatment. What did that consist of, Miss Banks?
All that is in the office record.
What would bring on such an attack?
It could have been several things.
Could it have been something she ate? Acute indigestion affects the heart. Maybe Mrs. Horton would be here now if the doctor thought to use a stomach pump.
He did use one. He did everything there was time to do.
She certainly went in a hurry. Suffer a lot?
She said she was in pain.
Where? Her stomach?
No, not her stomach.
Where then?
She seemed to be in pain all over.
Reflex, maybe? When it was over, what did you do, Miss Banks?
Call Mr. Horton.
Must have been a blow to the great man. I understand she was younger than he is and quite a sultry gal.
I've talked to you professionally because you said it was necessary to help Dr. Sloan. Is that all, Mr. Goodwin?
I guess it is for now. Unless you'll have dinner with me.
Thank you, no.
I'm handsome, hardworking, and harmless. I'll bring you references from my employer. What do you say?
The express elevator's the one on the right.
Must be there's another man. Wouldn't be the doctor, would it? Well, you'll fit better in a Pullman kitchen than here among the test tubes at that. My reluctant congratulations.
Verdict, Archie?
Innocent as lambs, both Sloan and the nurse.
Evidence to prove it?
My unfailing sensibilities, not the murderer type. Nice couple, doctor and the nurse. I suspect they're engaged. She's so much in love with him, I could have been you and she wouldn't have known the difference.
Very flattering. Records?
The usual medical record, Mrs. Horton's first visit, symptoms, subsequent visits. Here are the notes on it.
Vitamin B shots. No chance they brought this on, huh?
Dr. Sloan says absolutely not. I checked that with other doctors. But Mrs. Horton did go into this right after the hypo.
There's the story, jives with Sloan?
Mm-hmm. A little more detail. She says he did everything. He even used a stomach pump.
The woman was in pain? What's this? Head to feet?
My way of saying pain all over.
What other papers did you examine?
Only the medical record.
Get back to Sloan's office late tonight and examine all the papers in his desk.
Can't you trust me? I tell you, there's no reason even to suspect these two.
When you have one of your adolescent infatuations on, blood dripping from a dagger in a girl's hand would look to you like crushed rose petals. With this Grace Banks out of the way, maybe you can recognize evidence.
Sounds like a long, bleak evening.
Hand me that medical book, and then be on your way. I want to think.
Mm-hmm. evening, Mr. Goodwin.
Oh, good evening, Dr. Sloan. This is a surprise to us both. I didn't anticipate that you'd be keeping office hours after midnight.
What are you doing in my office at 2 o'clock in the morning, Mr. Goodwin?
Reading your mail and having a ghoulish time surrounded by all these shiny instruments of yours.
You've been rifling my desk.
I wouldn't do that if I were you. I've put things back very neatly, even the letters from this little secret compartment, which isn't secret at all to anybody who knows about desks. I've kept only
give
one.
Give me that.
Easy. It's the my darling mine first shan't ever give you up one way or another one. You remember it? I'll bet that nice little nurse you're engaged to never wrote that, did she?
What do you intend to do with it?
Mark it Exhibit A in the Horton murder case. Maybe you'd like to come with me and explain it to Nero Wolfe.
Very moving, very flattering, very interesting if you like women, but also very incriminating, Dr. Sloan.
What does it prove? A silly woman with a nervous breakdown imagined she was infatuated with me?
A woman who is now dead, you must remember, under, shall we say, unusual circumstances. You signed a death certificate which stated Mrs. Horton died of a heart attack. As you signed it, Dr. Sloan, did you remember she had threatened you? And heave a sigh of relief that fate had done you such a good turn?
I didn't bear Leslie any ill will. I was sorry for her.
You felt adequate to the situation. You called another doctor, though there are several in your building.
My first thought, of course, was that it was some extraordinary allergic reaction to the vitamin dose.
It was not until an hour or two after she was dead you decided she expired from a heart attack.
Yes.
How did you explain the pain?
I reported no pain.
Miss Banks said Mrs. Horton had pain from her head to her feet.
Grace said that?
Well, not in those words, but that was the general
idea. Dr. Sloan, why did you use a stomach pump on a heart case?
Why, I told you I tried everything. Sometimes an acute digestive disturbance.
I suggest you did it because to you, as to any qualified physician, the pain in the feet suggested poisoning. Particular kind of poison. An inorganic poison.
There wasn't any in her stomach.
You maintain that? Archie, get the medical examiner on the phone. Tell him the body of Miss Hal Horton must be examined for any evidence of poisoning.
I know you think Mrs. Horton was murdered, but it's impossible. There'd been no one near her.
Miss Banks?
Miss Banks couldn't have done it. She was working with me constantly.
That's what I thought you'd say, Dr. Sloan.
Mr. Wolfe, I had to see you. This is the most dreadful thing I've ever heard of. Trying to accuse Dr. Sloan of murdering a patient.
It appears he had a reason to want Mrs. Horton dead, Miss Banks. She was that thing the poets write about, a woman scorned. She had sent him this hysterical letter threatening scandal if he rejected her. He couldn't control her. She kept coming back to his office making scenes.
Gave her nothing but thiamine chloride. I know. I fixed the shot myself.
Don't start covering for
her. I'm not. I tell you, I fill the needle. And I didn't put anything but thiamine chloride in it. You haven't any reason to think anybody did, except for that letter you stole. If it wasn't for that letter... Give it to me. Give it to me.
Come on, Archie, quick.
Now drop it, baby. Come away from that fireplace. Why, you little tiger, kid. I didn't think you had it in you. Come on, let go of it.
No.
Let go. Give it to Papa. Now, look what you did. You almost got Nero Wolfe out of his chair.
Destroying evidence is a serious offense, young woman.
She kept coming to the office, writing and pestering him. I heard her from the laboratory.
You read her letters, too, didn't you? You knew if something didn't stop her, Dr. Benjamin Sloan was a ruined man.
But he didn't kill her. I know he didn't.
I don't believe he did.
You don't? Well, then who?
You've just provided an excellent motive for having done it yourself, Miss Banks. Pears and white wine. Cold, luscious, exotic. Excellent, Fritz, excellent.
Best thing that's happened today. I don't like this Sloan case. If you ask me, I think that Horton thing got what was coming to it.
Those are not the words of abstract justice, nor the phrases of a gentleman of culture. A good detective never plays favorites. Good night's rest, and you will find your attitude more normal by morning.
You expect to have this case solved by morning?
Solved now. Thanks to the expedition I sent you on this afternoon. Your rest can wait. No one will escape.
I feel like a murderer myself. If I hadn't wormed it out of Grace about the Horton woman complaining of pain, and if you hadn't jumped at the word feet...
That, Archie, my dear fellow, is the purpose for which you exist, to discover pertinent facts. Have we quite finished? Coffee in the study, then.
Here's the door. I'll go.
Mr. Wolfin?
He isn't seeing anyone this evening, Mr. Horton.
Well, he's seeing me.
Archie, if that's Mr. Horton, I'll see him.
You'd better.
Sorry you found Mr. Goodman so impossible, Mr. Horton. He came to pay you a call this afternoon. I sent him, but he didn't find you in, did you, Archie?
No, but I made myself at home. I knew anything that would help to solve this case you'd want us to have.
What do you mean? You were in my house? What did you take?
Nothing of monetary value, I assure you, that will not be returned in due course. But before I announce the solution of a case, I like to have all my little props in place. I appreciate a well-rounded performance.
Mr. Wolf, I've had enough of this foolishness, this delay. I hired you to convict Sloan, not to play parlor games.
You must be patient, Mr. Horton. Don't force me.
I want action.
Well, I had planned to wait until the morning, but if you insist... These papers here may interest you, Mr. Horton. Mr. Goodwin here collects them, your wife's letters.
Leslie's?
You recognize the script? These are addressed to Dr. Sloan.
Do they prove anything against him?
The lady's correspondence should be kept private. This other letter, however, was sent to you.
To me? Leslie's? What? Give it to me.
Easy, Horton, easy. Don't grab.
No, but that letter's mine. You stole it from my desk.
There is a point in a case, Mr. Horton, where letters cease to be personal property and become evidence.
What evidence can that letter provide?
It seems you had reason for wanting to kill your wife, Mr. Horton. A man can get annoyed by a note saying his wife never loved him, that all his money isn't enough, and that she's going to another man.
You accusing me of murder?
It could have been the perfect crime. Poisoning one of those pills she was forever taking, or on the tip of the cigarette she chain-smoked, in a doctor's office to die in. If you hadn't been fool enough to try to pin it on Sloan, you might have gotten away with it.
If I had known while she was alive what Leslie was, I might have done anything. But that letter you stole from me was one she left under my pillow. I didn't find it until after she was dead. I didn't kill her. Sloan did.
You hired me to prove that, Mr. Horton. Suppose you let me go about my business.
Nero Wolf's office. Yeah? Oh, you did? Good boy. We'll expect you. I'll tell Mr. Wolf at once. Medical examiner's officer, just as you thought, they found poison in the body.
Listen to me.
Inspector Kramer's picking up Dr. Sloan and Grace. They'll be here any minute. Kramer's set to make an arrest.
I told you. The police know it's Sloan.
Put the letters and Mrs. Horton's bag on my desk, Archie.
Leslie's alligator bag? You stole that from my house this afternoon, too. Those things are mine.
Inspector Kramer will want to take them with him.
But you think I want it made public what Leslie did to me? Kramer can't have them.
Maybe the inspector will want to take you too, Mr. Horton.
Let them in, Archie.
Come in, Inspector Kramer. Oh. Dr. Sloan, Miss Banks.
Wolf asked me to bring them here first before I locked anybody up. Mrs. Horton was murdered, all right. I'm sending a man for Horton, too.
You won't have to. Mr. Horton's waiting here to join the party. Come into Mr. Wolf's office.
Good evening, Inspector.
Good evening, Wolf.
Will you all please range yourselves around the room as I indicate? Miss Banks here. Dr. Sloan, Mr. Horton. Archie, you stand between the two men, if you please.
Mr. Wolf, this is a dreadful mistake. I swear the doctor didn't...
Stop thinking about the doctor. What about you?
If you're accusing Miss Banks, I might as well tell you now.
Hold it, Dr. Sloan. From here on, anything you say will be held against you.
That's what I want. Let Grace go home and
For heaven's sake, why don't you arrest the man? Isn't it obvious he's guilty? You and your trumped-up charges against me.
I'll do the talking now, Mr. Horton. Mrs. Horton died from a certain inorganic poisoning. Poison administered in your office, Dr. Sloan, with a hypo syringe.
Let's get it over with. I gave her the hypo.
But I filled the needle.
There you are. They're both guilty.
Which would solve the case if they weren't lying. Miss Banks believes Dr. Sloan killed Leslie for her sake. Dr. Sloan thinks Miss Banks put poison in the hypo to save him from professional ruin. They're trying to protect each other. The fact is, the hypo they gave was perfectly harmless. It did not kill Mrs. Horton.
Then what did?
Mrs. Horton came to your office in desperation, Dr. Sloan. But she came prepared for the worst. You see this handbag? Can any of you identify it?
Yes.
It's hers.
Is it Mr. Horton?
It's Leslie's.
The bag she carried to the office the day she died. Open it, Archie. You will see it contains her change purse, billfold, cigarette case, matches, her handkerchief, nothing more. That is, not unless you look closely. Then you will observe this lining has a double fold.
A secret compartment.
Exactly. We open it this way, and there we find it. A hypodermic needle with which the unhappy woman committed suicide. Miss Banks, Dr. Sloan, you can stop protecting one another. Mr. Horton, the world need never know you were a betrayed husband. Mrs. Horton killed herself while in a confused state following a mental breakdown. The case of the malevolent medic is closed.
How did you ever get the hunch about the handbag, Mr. Wolf?
I know nothing about women, but on my occasional trips abroad, I have been forced to observe their handbags. Monstrosities. They hold anything and everything.
Now that our guests have gone, Fritz is bringing coffee to the study. Would you like some beer?
I believe I would. Somehow I feel I've earned it.
Here you are.
Poor fellow, I'm very sorry for you.
How so?
This is one case in which there is no falsely accused, unattached young lady for you to squire about. Well, here's to your better luck next time.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet.
Isn't Nero Wolfe amazing? A man as smart as he is large. A double fold in the bag in the episode Malevolent Medic. Nothing seemed to slip by Nero Wolfe. In fact, he doesn't even have to touch the bag. He can sense what on earth is going on and just piece it all together. And thankfully, for the couple, that Nero Wolfe was there, otherwise one of them would be certainly going to jail. Well, actually, had it been for the police, they'd both be going to jail, which is kind of nuts. And in a party for death, Jane thought she had everything lined up, you know. Just to fool Nero, even invited him to be the expert witness, just to ensure that things went smoothly. But in the end, even in taking her own life, well, the attempt to through the poisoned ice cube, it was in fact swapped out. Nero really does think of everything, and as Nero says, Archie definitely has his uses because his observation skills, although not knowing exactly where they feed into, are reliable and to the point. So yes, even though I take the Mickey out of Archie, and so does Nero, and every other gal he meets, Archie is a fantastically good detective. Now, amazing listeners, I want to thank my Patreon supporters, first and foremost, my Ode Night Tea Titan, the super deity that swings down, grabs the podcast by the britches, kicks it squarely in the pants, and sends me 2 billion meters into the universe, into outer space, where I can sip my tea quietly. Thank you, Matto Star, for your amazing, amazing support, being my pal, and always having me and this podcast back. Rest assured, you'll be hearing from me as well. And I thank you again and again for supporting me at this tier so I can really pull out the old audio editing muscles and rinse out the noise and give you and everyone that gets a chance to listen to this episode, the old Tommy ones, a chance to hear real audio from the 1940s as if it's brand new. To think that these people were recording in booths 60 plus years ago. Well, 70 and 80 in some cases, just bonkers, and we get to hear it today, fresh off the press. Thank you so much, Matto, for literally helping me bring history back to life. You're a legend and my pal. Have a wonderful week. And my two white tea warlords, firstly, Lezucosaurus Rex, the bench presser of boredom, the ab workout of the mind. The hawley to my Australian dooley. I hope you're having a fantastic Monday, Lezza. Thank you so much for being my pal and supporting me as you do. I've been able to pay off some serious overheads when it comes to domains for the website. As always, I'm hunting for new audio and special effects, and I'm able to pay off the subscription to Suno AI that helps you make all this fancy, awesome audio right from scratch. And that means saving dollary dues on things like Epidemic Sound, buying packs of audio from places like Ghost Hack, all sorts of lovely places, and means of diversifying my audio landscape. thank you, Lezza, for being my pal and supporting me as you do. And also, my next YT warlord, Joseph Schroeder. You superstar, you. Thank you so much, mate, for supporting me. I've been putting your lovely Dory D's straight into new sound effects packs, new audio, new music, and all around finding means to combobulate new sound effects from nothing. Thanks for helping me experiment and really punch above my weight, Joseph. And thanks for being my pal and supporting me as you do. All three of you are absolute legends. And speaking of also amazing legends are my Earl Grey enforcers. I am extremely lucky to have some kind souls to support this podcast, aka me. I have Chad Warren, Just Heather, Sunshine Days, Juicebox Andy, Peter Raffioli, Divided by Zero, Paige Kramer, Jane Gumnick, Michael Krupp, Jandy Prinz, and Seductive Smiles. Thank you all, my loveliest of mates, for supporting me at this tier. And lovely listeners out there, if you want to support this podcast, find me on my Patreon website, which is www.patreon.com/SFGT, where you can support me as much as a cup of tea a month, and that all goes back into the podcast, and of course, to buy some tea, because I actually genuinely love tea. Gotta say, my favorite tea brand at the moment, and I think of all time, is TWG. So if you like your tea, check out TWG Tea. It's Singaporean tea. I am not sponsored, but if you hear me, TWG, if you're listening, anyone from there listening, I'm all ears. No, I don't run ads, okay? I don't run ads. Anyway, I digress. Have a wonderful, brilliant week, and I'll see you next Monday. And as always, to cheer us on out is our lovely AI-manufactured outro. And I can't wait to share some more unique stories. Till next we meet.
Listeners gather brave and bold. Stories, fables, ghostly tales. In every shadow a truth unveils. Unveils. As the night around us prevails, every whispered secret sails. Sails. Around the fire, eyes wide with fear, tales of the unseen draw near. Blurring lines between what's clear, between the real and what appears. In the night's embrace we find tales that haunt the mind. Forever in the dark entwined, ghostly tales forever bind. Forever. For listening, legends. Thank you to my Patreon supporters, and a huge shout out to Matto Star, Lesosaurus, and Joseph. Have a great week.